Besides the good news today that Christ is risen, I come bearing some other recent good news. The Venerable Fulton Sheen from Illinois, the bishop in New York, who proclaimed in his age through modern media the gospel and the faith to the U.S., will be beatified in a few months. The miracle that is medically inexplicable, that's been analyzed and scrutinized, finally went to the Vatican, and Pope Francis has allowed for the head of the causes of the saints to come to Illinois this coming year, and in Peoria to celebrate the mass of his beatification. Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. The miracle happened about 9 years ago. A mother gave birth to her third child at home, and the little baby was blue, not moving, no vital signs, and no pulse. And so they called the ambulance right away, and the family began praying like crazy to the Venerable Fulton Sheen for his intercession. They were in Illinois, not far from actually the church where he was ordained. Ambulance came, took the baby to a trauma hospital, and still nothing. No vital signs for 61 minutes. And then at minute 61, right as the doctor was about to declare the child dead, baby James took a breath and his heart began beating. Came back to life. And everyone there, from the family to the doctor, the people just used the word, "This is a miracle. We have not seen this. We can't medically explain this." And the doctors, of course, told the family, "Now, we're really happy that your child is alive, but he's going to have brain damage. He's going to have some developmental problems, so get ready for it." Well, 9 years later, James is fine. He's got no issues that can be seen. Just a happy kid running around. The power of God that came through the prayer of his servants. Miracle. Now, one of the questions I'm asked most often as a priest is, do miracles still happen? Or if they do happen, are they more rare than the times of Jesus? What kind of miracles are really, like, legitimate? And how should we expect them or not expect them and not get our hopes up too much? Questions like that. In the gospel today, Jesus sends these 72 disciples out, he says, as lambs among wolves, taking with them really nothing except the memory of Jesus within them. And what's he tell them to do? Go into people's homes, go into towns. He tells them to do really two things: cure the sick and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Now, they've seen Jesus do both these two things. He's been curing the sick, casting out demons, doing amazing things. And they've heard him saying that the fulfillment of Israel's hope, that God would be Lord over all the nations, that God's power would come and be the main power in the world, the power for good, the power for love, that this is happening now. Your hopes are being fulfilled now. That's what Jesus said. So they're being told, okay, you guys go out and do this. Wait, us? Huh? This is your job, Jesus. But he gives them the power, he gives them the commission, and they go out. And in fact, they do just what Jesus said. Maybe some trepidation, maybe some fear, maybe some worry, like, is this going to work if I pray for someone to be cured? Is this going to work? But they take a risk of faith, and they decide to go forth. When they come back, we have kind of a little interlude there. I tried to pause to capture, like, the days or weeks that went by. Our lectionary kind of skips over some other things. But they come back, and is there fear? Is there trepidation? Is there doubt? No. They're actually so happy, they're getting a little kind of off track. "Lord, even the demons were subject to us because of your name." I mean, if there's any power in the world above politics and the dollar and culture and ideas, it's the power of sin, the power of darkness. Death is the ultimate power, right? "Lord, even the demons were below us." Well, Jesus says, it's true. It's true. I've given you protection. I've placed you above them. But don't rejoice that you have more power. Be glad that your names are written in heaven. Now, what's that mean? We could talk a lot about that, but it basically means that from the Old Testament times, cities, ancient cities, kept a list of their citizens written on paper. And you could reference that. It took a long time back then, but you could reference that. I was born in this city. I belong here. I have rights here. So Jesus is saying, in the city of the kingdom of heaven, you are known. You belong. You belong to God. So don't worry about all the great power you're being given. Use it for good, but rejoice more that you belong to God, that you're friends with me. I think in many ways, as we reflect on this gospel today, God wants us to really believe, he wants to show us that he really is the most powerful force in the world, above everything else. Sometimes miracles seem rare because we're used to all kinds of other things influencing our lives, from politics and the dollar and culture and things like natural disasters, earthquakes, shake up not just homes, but shake up my very heart. What is going to happen? God has brought forth his kingdom in Jesus, and because he has risen, that power abides and spreads through the world. And we live in that. It's not fully here yet. We don't fully see. But God's power is what is changing and driving history. And we are part of that. And because of that, miracles are not the exception. Things that bring life, things that bring goodness, things that transform lives, they are not the exception. They are the norm. Because that's how God made the world, to be full of life, full of goodness, full of kindness. The new creation is the restoration of that. That's what the kingdom of God is. And we're living that right now, even though we don't fully see it yet. And sometimes we're challenged to believe it's true. To illustrate that, let me give you just a little example. One of my favorite books is C.S. Lewis's Out of the Silent Planet. It's a sci-fi book, a part of his space trilogy. And in the beginning of the book, this professor, Dr. Ransom, he is kidnapped, and he's taken into a spaceship by two other people, and he's being brought to a faraway planet. And as he kind of calms down, realizes, like, he's just stuck here for a while, might as well enjoy it, he says to himself, looking out the window of the spaceship, I always thought space was dark and cold. But he sees how there is so much light shining through the universe he never saw before. The light of the sun, just so much brighter than he ever imagined. Has to wear special glasses to see it. And as he looks on the far side, he sees so many more stars and constellations of all different colors he never could have seen before. And he finds himself every day just stuck to the window, contemplating, delighting in how full this universe is of light. I think that's how it is for the kingdom of God right now and for miracles, that we who are earthbound still, we only see a little bit of it through the atmosphere, but really, when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, we will see, oh my gosh, God has been doing so many amazing, powerful, glorious things, and I was part of it, but I only could see it now. So even though we're earthbound, we're living in that kingdom, we're meant to have our eyes open to that. I think that's one reason why God does give us some stupendous miracles like the resuscitation of baby James, because we do need some of those really amazing miracles to remind us that God's power is at work every single day in our lives. You know, the miracle that God might want to work in someone's life, in your life, in my life, maybe it's not the resuscitation of a child an hour after birth. A miracle might be a parent who's already lost their child, but the power and love of God gives them peace and strength and trust in eternal life to see that baby again and to be able to know Christ in their heart even now, waiting for that. The miracle might not be the total healing of a disability, but it might be the gift to be able to see how God's power can actually be more powerful through one's weakness and to minister to others from that disability, from that lack. The miracle might be someone who takes a risk in faith like these disciples and says, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to take a risk for Christ, even though I'm kind of scared about what that might mean. Praying over someone, speaking about Jesus in public, allowing Christ to take all of my life. The miracle might be that person realizing that, oh my gosh, this is what I've been longing for. My life has a whole new direction now. All these things are the light of God shining into the world and the kingdom. And you and I are called to be part of that. This week, brothers and sisters, as Jesus' disciples, he sends all of us here as lambs among wolves, without much except for his presence within us. Today, this week, let us all take a risk in faith and say, Jesus, send me forth. However you want, wherever you want. Because I believe that your power in the world is the only power. That your kingdom is near.